the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
There is,
as we come to this week,
a very special coincidence,
we would say.
After the Feast of Theophany,
we have, as you know, and we've said, and this, I don't repeat myself just to tire you, I repeat myself so that we can really begin to learn the liturgical sequence throughout the year. So we have the four feasts of a feast, we have the feast, and then we have the leave taking of a feast, when the feast closes its cycle, and we say it again for the next year. So we have the four feasts of Christmas, the feast of Christmas, and the leave taking of Christmas. Today, actually, on the 14th of January, it just happens to be a Sunday, is the leave taking of the feast of Theophany. That's why, if some of you had a good ear, you would have heard a lot of hymns that referenced Theophany, such as En Yordani Vaptizome. You would have heard this today in the liturgy. Why are we singing that? Theophany was on the 6th of January. Well, because today is the close of the cycle of the entire, let's say, Nativity fast. So from tomorrow on begins our looking at the next feast, which is Ipapandi, which is when Jesus was brought into the temple 40 days after his birth. If you count December 25th and you count 40 days forward, you land on February 2nd. And we celebrate on February 2nd the entrance of Christ into the temple. These are just some preliminary remarks so that we can begin to understand, like I said, the seasons of the year that the church gives us.
A bonus question.
What do we see after Ipapandi? What's the next major feast that one could think of that comes after February 2nd?
All the hands are going up.
One at a time, please.
March 25th.
So you'll begin to hear in the weeks before March 25th hymns about the Annunciation of Jesus, when Panagia was told she was going to conceive. March 25th plus 9 months later gives you
December 25th.
So you have the conception of Panagia March 25th. 9 months later, you have the birth of Jesus December 25th. Just some religion trivia this morning on Sunday.
Repent,
for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For those of you, again, who had really good ears and a good memory, you would have recalled that the first words of St. John the Baptist at the Jordan River, as the people came, his first words that are recorded in the Gospels is, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the first words, these are the first words of Jesus's what we would call public ministry, when he appears in the public. You know, he's born, he's circumcised on the eighth day, he's brought into the temple on the 40th day. We have a snapshot of him at 12 years old. You remember his parents walked for a day, they're like, where is he? They can't find him. They walk back to Jerusalem, they search 3 days, and after 3 days, they find him at 12 years old sitting in the temple, reading and teaching the elders, and everyone's in shock. How can this 12-year-old know all these things? And then we don't have a single reference to Jesus Christ in the Gospels from the age of 12 to the age of 30. At the age of 30, when he appears finally on the scene, let's say the public scene, the first words uttered out of his mouth, the first message that Jesus gives is, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
None of you would know this,
but maybe a few.
The first words after Christ's resurrection,
in the Gospel,
he says,
go and preach
repentance
and forgiveness of sins
to all nations.
That was his message.
You have it in the beginning
of his ministry,
and you have it right after his resurrection.
The great news for all of humanity to hear today and forever is that your sins can be forgiven.
and they can be forgiven
when you repent. Now, quickly to think.
The Greek word is metanoite.
Metanoite, unfortunately, I think we've talked about this in the past,
is not very well rendered in English as repent.
Somebody could say, I repent for my mistake yesterday.
And it's a single action at a single moment in time.
The Greek, though, metanoite,
has a continuous action
that goes into the future.
It's this continuous
metanoia.
Also, the word repent does not render metanoia,
because metanoo means I literally change the way I think.
So you see how far in English
the word repent, we think of, I have to sit here all day crying for my sins.
In the Greek rendering,
metanoo is this, I am sitting before God constantly saying, how am I going to change the way I think, Lord?
How am I going to change
the things that go through my head, Lord?
The mind, brothers and sisters,
for you who know,
so metanoo means it's a continuous action.
I am continuously changing the mind that I have between my ears, my brain.
And the brain,
many of you know I studied biology before I became a priest.
The brain is the most
fascinating thing in the mind that we have is the greatest gift that God has given us.
You know, the brain has 100 billion neurons.
And these things that they say, well, we only use 7% of our brains,
is baloney.
These things have now been disproved, or 2% of our brain.
These have been, you can
in your brain have 800 memories per second,
to put it that way.
The brain is a powerful machine.
And it says,
science says now you can store 100 trillion memories in your brain.
It's amazing.
So the most important gift that God has given us
is our mind.
Because that is what sets us different, friends, from animals.
We are able through our minds to communicate
and speak to God.
An animal, as you know, works on instinct.
An animal can't say, I wonder what my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was doing.
It can't think about the past.
It can't calculate in the way we can with our minds into the future.
An animal cannot think of life after death.
It lives,
it breathes for today,
and as the Bible said, God provides for that animal to live today.
But we can think
about tomorrow,
and we can think about eternity,
and we can think about what we have in our hearts
and what our minds are thinking.
So we have thoughts because we're created in the image of God,
and we're given the ability to think,
and this is what I want to talk about today.
Our thoughts determine our lives.
I'll repeat that.
Our thoughts determine our lives.
By the way, the Bible says,
God is always thinking about you.
Let that sit in for a second.
From the millisecond
you were conceived in your mother's wombs,
God has constantly thought of you.
That gives, to use the children's sermon,
us a lot of value.
He has never stopped thinking of us.
He didn't think of us more when we were younger, less now that we're older.
He doesn't think of us more when we're doing all the right things and less when we're doing all the wrong things.
He has been thinking about us since the day we were conceived.
Problem is,
we're not always thinking about him.
That's a different story.
But he's always thinking about us.
Let me say this.
My thoughts control my life.
My thoughts control my life,
but I control my thoughts.
My life is controlled by my thoughts,
but I, can But I can control what I think about.
So we said,
our lives are determined by our thoughts. Isn't that true?
Think about the bad.
If you're thinking bad thoughts all day, guess how you're going to feel?
Pretty bad.
If you're thinking bitter thoughts all day, guess what kind of person you're going to be?
A bitter person.
If you're thinking fearful thoughts all day,
you're going to be dominated by fear.
Our thoughts control our lives.
Our thoughts determine our lives.
And if you had good thoughts all day,
you would have a good feeling inside.
So you can change friends, as I like to say,
your spouses,
you can change your zip code,
you can change the size of your bank account,
you can change where you're going to go for vacation because you had a horrible vacation last time. But if you don't change this thing called the mind, if you don't change what the way you think, your life will never change.
Because
you take your mind wherever you go.
You can't disassociate
it from you.
But the second truth,
since my thoughts control my life, but I control my thoughts, is that you can choose.
God has given you the ability to choose
what thoughts you want to hold on to.
What thoughts you want to keep in your heart,
and what thoughts you simply want to push away.
Think about that.
You have been given this ability.
What happens?
We become very passive
in what goes through our heads.
How many of you think that you're influenced by social media?
I see a bunch of hands up.
I don't want to tell you the statistics of studies
that say how much of our thinking
is influenced by social media,
and let's say by media in general.
You're told where to go to vacation.
You're told what kind of car to buy.
You're told what kind of hair color you should have.
You're told what kind of family, what family should look like.
You're told where to go and do this and that,
where to eat.
Media would not be a multi-billion dollar
enterprise
if it was unaffected, friends.
Media
controls our thoughts.
We allow
friends
to tell us how you should.
You shouldn't think like that.
You should do this.
They control our thoughts.
Magazines,
TV,
the sneaky one.
All of these unfortunately control our thoughts,
and we are called, and we have the ability to say enough and to stop them.
If I eat junk food all day, what happens to my body?
If I take drugs,
what happens to my body?
It's the same thing with our minds, friends.
And a lot of times our young adults especially
suffer the poison of bad influences in their heads.
This is so sad.
We're going to get very sick in our bodies if we don't eat the right things.
Guess what happens to your soul
when you don't feed it the right things?
We,
and this is also very sneaky.
Everything in this life is very subtle.
Subtle.
Everything is subtle.
Let me give you a little example.
You have the TV on.
And there's a scene.
Use your imagination.
And the first time you saw that scene, or the first time you saw that image,
you were a little shocked.
But it was quick.
It was a two-second clip.
Then it happens another day.
And then it happens again.
And now most of us,
when something comes on the media, the TV,
it doesn't even faze us.
Because it's very subtle.
It snuck into our consciousness.
And let me tell you, your minds and your hearts are like hard drives.
You get an image,
and it's stored.
It's stored there.
And that subtleness
passes.
You don't even realize it.
And before you know it,
you're so sick inside.
We have to be very careful
and,
and very not passive about the things that we allow into our hearts. As someone said, intentional about our attention. And use this as you leave today as a tool. Ask yourselves this question. Do I really want to think about this thing right now? If something's coming at you that's not the best, something that's creating, let's say, a fear in you, do I really want to think about this fear right now? Do I have to think about this right now? That is a very powerful tool to keep something far from you. You know what I'm saying? To keep something at a distance. I'll say one more thing. We can change the way we feel by changing what we think. We can change the way we feel by changing what we think. I was telling Betty in the office this past week as I was thinking about what I'm going to speak about today. I said to her, if you're sad, and I say to you, be happy. Be happy. Does anything change?
No.
No.
If I say to a kid
who's crying, stop crying. Is he going to stop crying? No.
Feelings
will change when I change what I'm thinking. If I don't change how I'm thinking, I'm always going to still feel sad.
I can't will it into a being.
I see an image. I'm not going to look. You've already looked.
It's about changing
the way we think. I don't want to beat a dead horse.
But I think it's important
that we understand as we leave today that the reason why we have to repent and the reason why the Greeks got it right, metanoite, has everything to do with the way you think, is because Christ knew from the moment he came that if we do not protect our thoughts and if we don't choose the thoughts that we want, and we don't choose the food to feed our minds, then we are destined for a very bad ending. We're going to end up very unhealthy. I tell my young kids who come to confession, because they have a tendency to, out of curiosity, perhaps some adults do that too, to poke their noses into things they probably shouldn't be looking at. And I tell them, you hold the clicker to the TV, guys. When that image comes, change the channel. You have that power. All of us have that gift from God. He gave us the ability to rationalize and to think. Let's be careful and guard what comes in and out of our hearts.
Choosing,
as the feast says,
to be in the light of Christ
and to fill our hearts with Christ. And when we do this through repentance, through a lifelong continuous journey of changing the way we think, then Christ and God will grow in us. Our focus will be better. We'll be much more in the true sense happy and pleasing before God, and then people who see us and interact with us will receive from that. God bless and keep us all under His grace.